Hey, greetings everybody. It's Brother James from DontParish.com, John 424 Radio. Hope you're having a great day. I have got a not-so-normal teaching for you today, a little bit out of the ordinary. The Euphrates River, it's going dry. Yeah, let's talk about the Euphrates River. There's a huge river in the Middle East. God's Word actually mentions it in the last days, and it's been in the news a lot. It's drying up, it's running out of water for whatever reasons. They say climate change, whatever reasons it may be. And a lot of so-called Bible teachers are rushing in to say, it's the last days, it's the tribulation, it's a sign of the end times. Well, I hear them all talk about this river drying up. They're saying it's an urgent biblical sign, but is that true? We want to talk about that today. It is true, it's at a record low level. But here's my statement for this teaching. I want to be careful what we proclaim about the end times. There's things we just don't know. We can't be dogmatic. We can see signs. We can see bits and pieces. But we can't know for sure some things. You know, the Mississippi River, biggest river, one of the biggest rivers in America, I guess, is also running low, going dry. And there are Bible teachers out there saying, see, even the Mississippi's going dry, and this is a sign of the times. I don't see the Mississippi anywhere in God's Word. The Euphrates River is in God's Word. We're going to talk about that. So we have to be really careful when we start proclaiming end times. Well, we start proclaiming any theology, we have to be careful. But end times is real easy to start throwing stuff in and saying it's the end and saying what's coming when we don't really know for sure. We just see signs. We see birth pains. We see things that seem like they could be coming together, but we can't know. Jesus said no man knows the time of his return, so we have to be very careful. So let's talk about this huge, important river, the Euphrates. It's in the Middle East, and it has a long, long past. It flows out of Turkey. It's been talked about for thousands of years. How long has it been around? Since God's creation, probably. Comes out of Turkey, it flows through other nations in the Middle East, runs into the Persian Gulf. Now, I mentioned that it's mentioned in Scripture. That's where they're getting all of this from. And then in the news, it's going dry. And so this is what's alarming a lot of these. A lot of these men are false teachers anyway. And then they go into last days theology and they become even more false. Let's read about the Euphrates River in Revelation 16:12. And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. Okay, so there you see it. Yep, the Euphrates River is mentioned, talks about it being dried up, mentions the kings of the east could be prepared. We'll talk about that in a minute. The problem is, we don't know what this drying up means today, or what it's going to mean in the near future, far future. Droughts come and go, river levels go up and down. In fact, here's a fact for you. I think it was in May of 2014, that river went completely dry. Yeah, it went completely dry. You know why? A man-made dam. They shut the dam, and the river went to a trickle. So that was almost, what, 8 years ago? That was 8 years ago. And no last days, no great tribulation has come since then. So we have to be very careful. So, as always, I want to go and look at what the Bible says about this in context. All right? This is where we always study God's Word, in context, so we don't get deceived. We don't get swept away in emotionalism or theory or heresy or some dogmatic statements that we cannot back up. Now, the river is mentioned with the sixth angel. There's five angels before that one. Yeah, that matters, doesn't it? All right, we're going to check those out. Let's read this whole thing in context. Revelation 16, 1 through 16. Here we go. And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your ways, pour out the vials of wrath of God upon the earth. All right, so these are the wrath of God that's coming on earth. Verse 2. And the first went out and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worshipped his name. All right, so before we can look at this river that's the sixth wrath, we got to look at the first angel, the first wrath, and what does it tell us? It talks about the mark of the beast and sores on people who take it. Has this happened yet? Do we have a mark of the beast system that's ruling the world? I don't know of it. Is there any mass places where people are getting sores and boils on them that have taken the mark? I don't know of it. So that's the first angel. So that hasn't happened yet to my knowledge. Verse number 3. And then the second angel poured out his vial upon the sea, and it became as the blood of a dead man, and every living soul died in the sea. Okay, so the second angel is very clear. He pours it out on the sea, becomes blood red, or as blood of a dead man. I guess blood would be red, right? And every living soul in the sea died. Has that happened yet? Well, I haven't been to the ocean for about a year and a half, but I know some saints that live right near the ocean, and I can kind of hear and see reports all over. The ocean hasn't turned blood red, and everything hasn't died in the ocean yet. So the second angel hasn't done what he's supposed to do yet. Let's keep going. Verse 4. And the third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and fountains of the waters, and they became blood. And I heard the angel of the waters say, Thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and wast, and shall be, because thou hast judged us. For they have shed the blood of the saints and the prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink. Ouch. For they are worthy. They're worthy of that blood to drink. And I heard another out of the altar say, Even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are thy judgments. Okay, so this third angel wrath turns the rivers to blood red. I'm a van dweller. I live in a van. I travel all over. We travel by rivers all the time. I don't see them blood red. I know saints around the world that I don't hear of blood red rivers. And I'm not hearing any media reports of all blood red rivers. The third vial has not happened yet. Let's keep going. Verse 8. And the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and the power was given on him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat, and blasphemed the name of God, which hath power over these plagues, and they repented not to give him glory. Okay, wow, the hardness of man's heart, isn't it amazing? Now, this fourth angel, men are scorched by fire. This is a global thing, by the way. This is God doing things globally, I would imagine. It's what it seems to be. This is a whole centered around Israel, but we know 2/3 of the world's population is killed during the tribulation, so it has to be global, right? So this fourth wrath pouring out, scorched by fire, has not happened yet to my knowledge. If any of you men can email me and fill me in on where these four wraths have already happened, I'd love to hear it. I'd love to see it documented. Let's keep going to the fifth wrath and fifth angel. And the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the sea of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain, and blasphemed God of heaven because of their pains and their sores. They repented not of their deeds. There you go. Reminds me of Egypt. The Pharaoh boy, hard heart, and God was just putting wrath upon him, and he just would not repent. In the Bible, it says in Revelation, people would be crying out for rocks to hide them from the wrath of the Lamb. People that don't want to serve God, don't love God, everybody thinks, well, if they get in a tough spot, they're going to cry out to him. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says they get even more hard-hearted. I see that with religious people and all types of people. They get even more hard-hearted if they don't love the truth. So the fifth angel and the fifth wrath comes, and it comes to the seat of the beast. Did you catch that? The seat of the beast and his kingdom was in darkness. Huh. So he needs to be in power, and there's a great darkness before all of this can take place. So I just read to you the five wraths of the angels. None of them have come to pass that I can tell. Oh, you could hint and nibble away at each one and say there's bits and pieces here and there, but that's been true of all man's history, probably. And now we get to verse 12, talking about the Euphrates. Ready? And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, the water whereof was dried up, and the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. Okay, so here we have, we read it already a second time, the sixth angel, the wrath, and the river Euphrates dries up. And this is right before, this is leading up to the end of the Great Tribulation. How do we know this? It's leading up to a great war. How do we know this? Watch this, verse 13. I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth into the kings of the earth and the whole world to gather them to do battle of the great day of God Almighty. He's gathering them to do battle, right? The entire span of these events is leading to a cataclysmic event. What's it called? Well, I won't hold you in any suspense. It's a war against Israel by all the other nations. Verse 16. And he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. Yeah, you probably heard about the Great Battle of Armageddon that the Bible predicts. All of these six seals, actually there's seven, but the six from the river up and the other five, these are all leading up to the Battle of Armageddon. So on that day, in that time, that river will go dry. Why? Well, the Bible told us. So the kings of the east, most likely China, I can't say it dogmatic, but they certainly would be the candidate today with a millions of man army. China that can come up against Israel and march from the east. So the issue here, I want to be clear, is not whether the Euphrates will dry up in the tribulation. It will. I believe God's word. I'll die for the truth in God's word. I believe it. The issue is, has all these things, the five seals before it, happened to lead up to it so that these men can be saying, it dried up, look at it, it's a sign of the tribulation. And I would say the answer is clearly no, has not. Now, could the Euphrates be getting ready for that time? Could be. Could all these signs happen in the near future? Possibly. They're going to happen in the future, okay? The point is, I see men overblow these signs. Whether it be, okay, let me give another example. When COVID was going, I had all these men saying it and people emailing me, telling me that COVID was the mark of the beast. Well, they look really foolish and stupid now. Foolish, because it was not the mark of the beast. It could be a precursor. It could show us what it might be like. They could be doing trial runs to see if the world's ready for a mark of the beast. That vaccine passport that they had everybody getting in Israel and other places could be a precursor to it, but it was not the mark of the beast. These are all just birth pains, as Jesus talked about in Matthew 24, leading to more, but we are not in the Great Tribulation right now. I don't think we're even close, only because, I should say, we're not close to the second half of the Tribulation, because I don't believe we'd entered the first half of the Tribulation, which is an Antichrist figure and a peace treaty, and with Israel and things of that nature. We haven't seen any of that yet. So a drier Euphrates River now does not mean all of this is coming to happen as it says in Scripture now. That's kind of my whole point. These false men of God and these false teachers have to be careful, and true men of God and real Bible teachers have to be wise and not run off into this trap. Sensationalism. Oh, you get a lot of clicks on an article. You get a lot of clicks on a YouTube video. You know, that's what they're looking for. They're looking for viewership and they're looking to please people's ears. But when you just preach the Word of God and it's not sensational and it's not out of context and it's not worldly and churchianity favored, yeah, you're not going to be popular, just as our Lord and Savior said. Like I said, they end up looking foolish. Here's a thought. Experts, I don't know, what do you call an expert, okay? A worldly person, I guess, that studies rivers and climate. They say the river may dry up by 2040. That's what, 18 years from now? And a lot could happen between then. It could dry up sooner. It could flood and overflow. I'm 60. The Lord might come sooner than I think. He might never come in my lifetime. Here's the point. Only a fool speaks of what he does not know. The Euphrates will go dry one day, and the kings of the east will march across it. That I know, and that I can proclaim. But it being dry today is not what everyone or many people are saying that it is. Jesus said in Matthew 24, watch the signs, and we can see them lining up. We can. but we can't be reactionary. We can't cry wolf or cry tribulation over and over, or cry Jesus return over and over. What happens? Nobody ends up believing you. You're a false prophet. You got stoned in the Old Testament for that. Today, men do false prophecies and people forgive them, overlook it, and they're more popular than they were before. Yeah, massive deception in the last days. There's one false teacher who proclaimed that Trump was going to remain president 2 years ago. That hasn't happened. It's all over the internet, him saying it. And all his followers just, well, you know, just ignore it. And he's still a man of God and he got that wrong. And yeah, that kind of foolishness that we can't stand for. So my point to you men and any of you people that are students of the Bible, look for the signs, read the scriptures in context, see what must happen before this all can come to pass, and don't be reactionary about one sign. Look for many, many signs to start happening as the Bible talks about. If you go read Matthew 24, Jesus lays it out clearly, tells us what signs we can be looking for. Then from there, we can fill in pieces here and there. Last point on this teaching. I skipped over verse 15. Let me read it to you now. This is, I think, telling. Behold, I come as a thief. How do thieves come? When you don't know, right? No thief says, I'm coming at noon to steal your stuff. No, they come when you don't know and they catch you unaware. Blessed is he that watch. So we're blessed if we're watching and we're looking. That doesn't mean we're predicting a bunch of stuff that doesn't come true. No, you're not really watching. Now you're lying, twisting scripture. You're probably, if you call a whole bunch of stuff the end of days and tribulation, it doesn't happen, you're probably going to make a bunch of people get tired of looking and watching and they'll turn away. No, you want to rightly divide God's word in context. So he comes as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth. We're watching. We're watching the signs, right? We're looking for it. And keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. All right. Catch this. In the midst of telling us all about the last days, this terrible Armageddon war, the Spirit of God says, watch and keep your garments. Yeah. You know what that means? That means be ready, be alert, be living godly and holy, not in sin, not in slackness, not in idleness, not in lukewarmness, and be not caught naked. That's spiritually and physically. Right. See, God's people back then, and his true saints today know we're supposed to be looking for his coming. We're supposed to be living and preaching the gospel, coming out of the world, obeying in holiness, enduring in the faith, always covered spiritually by who? Christ, his word, and his spirit. That's who covers us, right? As well as we clothe our temple to cover our nakedness. The Bible teaches tunic and dress. That word garment means dresses for women, tunics for men. Yeah, go look it up. Here's my point. The tie between the Bible, garments, and ready obedience, looking and watching and waiting, it can't be ignored. It's in God's word. It's a sign. Think of this. It's a sign that you're ready on your inside, in your heart, looking, watching, living for him, waiting for him, desiring his return, in holiness from the outside, right? Holiness starts at the inside, then goes to the outside. And then, of course, we live this all out in a God-honoring garment, lest we be caught naked and unaware. So you can be caught spiritually naked and unaware by not being ready, being in sin, not looking for his coming. And how about this? You can be caught physically unaware, and here's a good example. You're inside your house. You're not dressed appropriately. It catches on fire or a criminal comes in and you run out of the house and you're either naked or inappropriate. You weren't ready. Now, obviously that could happen in an emergency, but that's the point. Spiritual, physical coverings. Ladies cover their head as a physical covering, which is a spiritual sign. We go down in the water as a spiritual sign of being cleansed. There's all these spiritual to physical things, right? And so that's what I wanted to say about verse 15. I found it was interesting that in the midst of telling us about the end of days, the Spirit of God says, what did he say? Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. That's both spiritual and physical. Oh yeah, you bet it is. Obedience to God, covering your temple, walking in his ways, looking for his coming. And for this teaching, my main focus was not twisting scripture, saying the end times are here when they're not, deceiving people. Jesus said the last days will be marked by deception. That's you, false teachers and Bible teachers and prophecy people, if you're claiming the end's coming and it doesn't come. You're a deceiver. Yeah. So that's a whole nother teaching, what I talked about being spiritually and physically covered. That's a whole nother teaching for another time. I hope this teaching helps you to see that the Euphrates River going dry. Yeah, it's kind of an important event. I think it's interesting the fact that a man can close a dam, or men can close a dam and dry it up. That might be something, although it says the angel does it, so we don't know exactly, and I'm not going to conjecture exactly how that happens. But I hope this helps you to see that the river will run dry. It is a sixth wrath that God pours out before the Battle of Armageddon. Don't make it more than what it is today. Don't make more the Mississippi River than it is today. Study the scriptures. Live holy. Be covered by Christ physically and spiritually by his word and keeping all of his ways. Looking for his coming. And by the way, can I say this? Christ comes at the end of the tribulation, not before pre-trib rapture, not in the middle. He comes at the end. Go read Matthew 24, 29, and 30. At the end of the tribulation, he comes and sends his angels to get who? His elect. They're not taken out early. His elect go through the tribulation. We suffer the wrath of Satan. Nope, we will not suffer the wrath of God. You can go read articles about that at don'tperish.com on my teaching blog. So I hope that helps you. Hope that encourages you. A little bit different topic today. Test scripture. Test all teachers. Test me to the word of God. Then you live your life. Repent and obey the gospel. This has been Brother James. We love you all. Till next time, go out and have a glorious day. May God be praised.